You know why America is blessed? You know why we're so different from Europe? Europe had biblical foundation, but the West is not Europe. There is a European West and there is an American West, and it's a big difference, folks. You know why we're different? Is because when it comes to the world's needs, we don't have to get involved in every skirmish that happens, but we do have to step up and do something when we hear innocent people suffering. That's the reason why God blesses these United States. And when you hear someone say, let's not get involved, it's not our fight, I think to myself, you're about to cut off God's blessing.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming sermon titled Unrest by Dr. Abadan Shah here at Clearview Church. Here at Clearview, our goal is to make Christ visible in every aspect of our lives. We'd love to see you at one of our services here at 3485 Oxford Road, Henderson, North Carolina. And for more information and ways to get plugged in, check out our website at clearviewbc.org. But for now, let's listen to this week's sermon.
This morning, we're going to hopefully get biblical and historical perspective on the incident, especially what's been happening in the past week or so. Now, here's the gist of the message. I want to go and give you this, and I hope this will stay with you. If you're visiting with us, typically I preach expository messages, take a passage, dissect it theologically, biblically, and preach and apply it. But this message is different. But here's the gist. Hopefully, this will stick with you throughout this message and beyond, and it's this. Until the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, are radically changed by Jesus Christ, there will be no lasting, genuine peace. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2, starting in verse 2. And we're going to bookend this message with another reference from Isaiah chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 9. But for now, let's all stand together. Isaiah chapter 2, starting in verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law. Verse 3, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Neither shall they learn war anymore. The only way peace can be made is when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know why I give the salvation message every time, give the gospel each time? Because there are people sitting here this morning who are lost. You've never given your heart to Christ. Hey, listen, you are at war with God. Heaven's armies are against you. You can laugh it off. One day the judgment is coming. You want to avert that judgment? Would you pray with me right now? Would you bow your heads right where you are? Simple prayer that says, Jesus, I need you to come into my life. I don't understand what it means that you are the Son of God. I don't understand everything about what you came to do. But to the best of my ability, as the Holy Spirit is helping me, I believe that you died, were buried, and rose again. And I need you to be my Savior. And from this day on, I will follow you as my king. Now, when I preach a message like this, which is going to be different, we're going to deal with politics and situations like that, there's always people in the audience who will say something like this, hey, you know, I believe that church and politics, we got to keep them separate. To people like that, I tell them, hey, listen, you're naive. You are naive. If church doesn't influence politics, make no mistake, politics will always influence the church. And so this morning, this message is in line with that. Last Friday, January the 3rd, 2020, I got a news alert on my phone, which I'm sure many of you got as well, that a U.S. drone strike in Baghdad had killed Qasem Soleimani. But I was surprised to hear some of the reactions. The reactions were, why did we do something like this? And of course, news media began showing pictures of the mass gatherings all over Iran mourning the death of this superhero, this person who meant a lot to a lot of people, and this caused more fear. I mean, look at it. Hundreds of thousands of people in different towns and cities all coming out in the streets, and they're angry, and they want revenge. And politicians began to voice their concerns. Something needs to be done. This is not right. What's going on? And America is making some really bad choices. Now, either people were not watching the news until January the 3rd, 2020, or they were purposely misleading the people. One thing I've come to realize, I grew up overseas, if you can tell. My accent betrays me as well. Americans are the least politically educated people. What was going on? This was not some random act that happened out of nowhere. We just decided to take out a major general. So what was happening? Let's look at it very quickly. On June the 13th, two oil tankers, one was Japanese, one was Norwegian, were attacked by Iran near the Strait of Hormuz. Now, if you look at the map, that little icon, the location icon, gives you some kind of an idea where this was happening. And if you can notice, this was the place where this happened. But that's not it. On June the 20th, 2019, we're talking about, an American drone was shot down by Iran in the very same area, neutral zone, but it was shot down. On July 19th, a British oil tanker was captured by the Iranian Navy in the same area. On August 21st, an American drone was shot down in Yemen by the Houthis. Now, if you know something about politics and current events, Houthis are Yemenis rebels who are supported by Iran. And they shot down this American drone on August 21st, 2019. On September 14th, two oil facilities in Saudi Arabia were targeted by drone and cruise missiles from Iran. If you notice, those two circles were the places where these oil facilities were or are. But let's jump over December 27th. On December 27th, the U.S. Iraqi base near Kirkuk was hit by missiles killing a U.S. defense contractor and wounding three Americans, soldiers, and two Iraqi officers or police officers. Now, this is December 27th. So on December 27th, the U.S. fired back and killed some of the fighters who are known as Hezbollah. How many of you have heard that name in the news? More hands are going up. Hezbollah, again, is supported by Iran, has been for quite some time, very active in Lebanon, always trying to create and wreak havoc in Israel. It's not over. On December 31st, these pictures began showing up on your Facebook feed, news channels, everywhere. You began to see this. And what is this? This is Hezbollah storming the entrance of the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. Kind of a Libyan style, storm it, and they shouted death to America, set the reception area on fire. This is what was happening prior to January the 3rd, 2020. The man behind all this was Qasem Soleimani, who was a major general in the IRGC, which is the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. And out of that, this big force, there's a special unit known as the Al-Quds, or Quds, And their job is extraterritorial operations, means outside of Iran. Their job is to make sure everybody is stable, fussing and fighting and skirmishes happening, and under the table they're funding and supporting and creating wars. This is the Quds under IRGC's. Qasem Soleimani was the head of this organization. He was known for being on the grounds working with his people or whoever he was working with at the time. How many of y'all know where he was taken out? In his hometown in Iran? Baghdad. He's Iranian. Baghdad, for those who may not know, is in Iraq. This is the reason this gives you some kind of a context as to why this really happened. Why did the U.S. take out this major general? It means things were happening. It wasn't random. But it still leaves us wondering, was all this really necessary? To answer this, we have to go much further back than just June the 13th, 2019. We have to go as far back as 2010. Now, I can go even further back, but for our time's sake, I believe this is the best place to begin. What happened in 2020? Well, a lot was happening, especially towards the Middle East. People, the average people, were getting sick and tired of authoritarian regimes. And Tunisia is the place where something happened, which we now know as the Arab Spring. And you know what happened in Egypt? The government toppled. Never anybody could have imagined how could just a bunch of young people on social media do something so radical. But what the young people didn't realize is another group was watching that also didn't understand all this, but they said, "This is our opportunity, boys." And they were the Muslim Brotherhood. They began to change things, starting with the number one, which is what? Let's beat up on Christians. Let's beat up on Christians. Let's burn their churches. And Christians were attacked while they were worshiping in church. Bullets came through. While they are passing in buses, bullets were fired towards them. And this was happening in Libya and other places. And sadly, about this time, America should have intervened. Okay? Initially, we didn't because we're thinking, okay, there is a natural, homegrown movement for change and revolution is happening. People are standing up for their democratic rights. But when they saw that this is all going down the tube, we should have done something, and we didn't. We watched Muslim Brotherhood take over and do some terrible damage. Egypt was so hurt because we were an ally. And many of us don't realize these things. What happens next? Well, the Egyptian people themselves started to take back control. There's a man by the name of Sisi who is the current president of Egypt, right? He overthrew the Muslim Brotherhood. He himself is a Muslim, and yet he overthrew these extremists and said, "That's it, we're done." And they took back control. And finally, by the way, Egypt is in a much better place today. It's strong, it's stable, and back to being allies as they were before. Country after country had to fight. Country which became the gaping wound, as some have called it, of the Arab Spring was Syria. In Syria, the protesters came out in the streets. They were going to oppose Assad. Something happened about this time that I need to go ahead and put that on the board. This is happening 2011. U.S. forces withdrew from Iraq. That was the big deal, right? We have to get our boys, our men and women, out of there. I mean, why would you want to be in such a place? We've done the best we could. It was a wrong war, right war, who knows what. We got to get out. Let's get out. Let's get out. I want you to remember that. This is very important. All this is happening at the same time period. And so now Iraq is there trying to continue, but they are weak. And they have been trained by our soldiers, right? They have been given Western technology. Even talk about ammunition, guns, anti-aircraft. Everything has been given by us. We have trained them. But now we left them in 2011 because they need to take it on from here. We don't need to be on the ground any longer. So this is happening. Iraq is very weak and vulnerable, barely able to stand. Arab Spring is happening. Syria is kicking out Islamic extremists. Egypt has done the same. North Africa is doing the same. Guess where they're going? What is the best spot in the world for them? Iraq. Let's go to Iraq. It's the weakest place. A small offshoot of this big movement began to grow in 2014, and it was called Islamic State. Later on, it took on the name ISIS. Y'all remember that? Is it ISIS or is it ISIL? Is it Daesh? What do we call this thing? Well, this is that group. Unfortunately, administration at the time did not understand what they were dealing with. In fact, it was referred to as a JV team. I would say they probably stand corrected. ISIS was not a JV team. It was not even a varsity team. It was not a state team. It was probably the dream team of all times. ISIS's goal, what was their goal? What do these people want? Well, they want to replace all previous groups with a caliphate. You heard the word caliphate? More hands going up, some hands. Or a super state. They wanted to remove all borders between Iraq and Syria. Y'all remember those days? Why can we defeat this little group of people? Why are they taking one city after another? How is that happening? Well, we trained them. Where are they getting the weapons from? Because we're used to seeing people fighting from caves, but these are well-trained, well-oiled machines. Well, those are our machines. Those are our guns. Those are trained by our commandos. And they're moving from city to city, taking everything in their sight. Another city has fell. Another town has fallen to ISIS. Another region now is under the control of ISIS. It doesn't make any sense. How in the world is this happening? And ISIS began to do something unprecedented. It began to cleanse the areas under its rule of all minorities. Does that sound familiar? Began to murder people. 1,500 Iraqi Shiites were killed. Remember, ISIS is Sunni, and there are Shiites in Iraq. They're killing them. 670 Shiite prisoners are killed in cold blood. And then they went after the Christians, of course. Old churches in Iraq and even Syria, because part of Syria was also under ISIS in control. They are burned. I mean, these churches, I love history. Go back to 1600 and 1700 years. It went after peoples like the Yazidis and began to kill them and turn their women into sex slaves. Kurds did the same thing to them. Even though they are more Sunni, yet ISIS had no time for them because they were unwilling to join in their agenda. So now you have to be dealt with as well. And so they went after the Kurds as well. And I don't have time again to list all their killings. Listen, mass graves are still being discovered all over Iraq and Syria. I believe it's not just a few hundred. I believe it's tens of thousands. It may come out one day. Hundreds of thousands of people have been killed by this group. This is what's happening. Did you know that in 2014, When all this began, there were as many as 45,000 ISIS-connected accounts. On Facebook, they were used to draw young people from England and Germany and France and Netherlands, Africa, Asia, South America, and even the U.S. This is happening. Now again, my time is just rushing away. So in 2014, we have already left the region. It's very weak. But when we realized something wasn't going right, in 2014, U.S. got involved again. Hey, by the way, European nations will only stay in the fight as long as U.S. is leading it. And so when U.S. got back into the fight, we're going to keep a small footprint on the ground. Remember that? Small footprint. Well, slowly ISIS was now fighting back, but they were not losing until 2016, when we declare all out against ISIS, we're coming after you. And when that happened in 2017, finally ISIS was defeated in Syria. Finally, in 2017. And in 2019, in October, we finally heard that Baghdadi, who is the ruler or this mastermind behind this, was killed in October of 2019. Finally, we heard that ISIS was defeated. But please listen very carefully. ISIS may be defeated, but ISIS is not eradicated. Where did these people go? They melted into the refugee camps. They melted into the IDPs. IDPs are the internally displaced persons group. They melted into these organizations. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Sometimes I hear even Christians say that everybody in the refugee camp is an extremist Muslim who is building a terror cell. When we say that, not only do we sound naive, we also sound heartless. Stop saying stuff like that. There are people in refugee camps who are really hurting. They're really struggling. They had nothing to do with any of this, and they are at the mercy of whatever. But at the same time, there are many in these refugee camps who are ISIS. And Europe found out the hard way when they took them in, because they were going, okay, we're here to help you. Next thing you know, they're taking out knives. And you're going, wait a minute, a refugee is not supposed to do that. Why is this happening? Because as we are helping people rebuild their lives, we also have to now be aware that the old elements are not gone. They just melted into these camps. The job is hard. And it's going to require a lot of discernment and courage. We have to be compassionate. At the same time, we have to be discerning. Something else had happened. How many of y'all have heard of the Iran nuclear deal? Anybody here heard that? Has he heard it lately? I don't have time to get into all the details. Some of y'all are saying, you haven't heard anything. According to this deal, you know, it was meant to block Iran's nuclear ambitions. Really, it didn't. It just delayed it. If it did, with absolutely no consequences. We're going to give you a lot of money, just don't do anything more, and see if we can reduce some stuff. How are we going to make sure you do that? Well, we're just going to take your word for it. And we're going to give you a lot of money. A lot of money. Even money for weapons that you did not receive from, you know, 4 decades ago. We're going to give you that money back with interest. It's all yours. Now, what does that do for a regime that desires to conquer the area? Not only does it give them money and weapons, of course it does, but it also bolsters their presence. They feel like, we have a right to be here. But now the big question is, which I'm going to solve in the next 2 minutes, why do we get involved? Can we not just stay out of all this junk? Can we not just stay? Why does the U.S. always has to get involved in other people's wars? If you believe that, please listen very carefully. If you don't stop them there, get ready to fight them here. If you don't fight them on the sand dunes there, you will fight them in the streets, city streets here. You say, well, no, that's not possible. Okay, where do I start? September 11th? They swore allegiance to Al-Qaeda. Oh, wait. Capitol Hill massacre? The Fort Hood shootings? Boston Marathon? The shooting in San Bernardino? Where do we stop? And guess what they would always say? We have sworn allegiance to ISIS. Folks, the thing is not that this group wants to build themselves a super state and stay there and flourish and grow. No, the next agenda is we're going to destroy you. But the second reason why we cannot just stay out of it, which is very important to understand, and I'll close with this. To whom much is given, much is required. You know why America is blessed? You know why we're so different from Europe? Europe had biblical foundation, but the West is not Europe. There is a European West and there is an American West, and it's a big difference, folks. You know why we're different? It's because when it comes to the world's needs, we don't have to get involved in every skirmish that happens, but we do have to step up and do something when we hear innocent people suffering. That's the reason why God blesses these United States. And when you hear someone say, let's not get involved, it's not our fight, I think to myself, you're about to cut off God's blessing. You know why God has his hand on us? In spite of all the junk that has happened against us, is because we always stood up and fight for those who are hurting. Final reference I told you was Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Isn't that beautiful? To solve the problem of this world, God did not say, I'm going to send my legions of angels. God did not say, I'm going to send a king on a white horse. A child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, which means he is God. That's the name of God. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and most importantly, what? Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Let me repeat what I said in the beginning. Until men and women, boys and girls, come to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, there will be no ultimate, genuine peace.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. In today's age, with so much misinformation, it's important to know the truth and to stand for it. For more information, check out Dr. Shah's blog at abadanshah.com, and for ways to get plugged in here at Clearview, check out clearviewbc.org. One awesome way to get plugged in is called Greek for Everyone, coming up on February 9th at 6 p.m. This is going to be a 6-week-long course to teach you how to read the New Testament Greek. Led by Dr. David Allen Black and Dr. Abadan Shah, this 6-week course will give you the tools to go even deeper into God's Word. For more information and how to sign up, you can contact us in the church office at 252-438-8433. Thank you so much, and we hope to see you here February 9th at 6 p.m.